T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is this the nightcap?
No, this is Patrick.
Is this the nightcap?
No, this is Patrick.
Is this the nightcap?
No, this is Patrick.
Time now for the nightcap on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ralph Krueger. All right. We got our man. Sabres have their head coach. And I'm happy about it. I'd like to come on here and just brag just a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean, it's been over a month since I wrote an article that was entitled "Keep an Eye on Ralph Krueger." I always thought there was a chance that this would happen, and I'm glad that we're sitting here today talking about it. Ralph Krueger is the newest Buffalo Sabres head coach. 803-0550 is the phone number for your reaction. 550-550 is the text line, or you can get me on Twitter at SneakyJoeWGR. 45 minutes away, less even, about 40 minutes away. We're going to switch to NHL coverage. We're going to go to the Western Conference Finals, Game 3 in St. Louis. Ryan O'Reilly and the Blues host Evander Kane and the San Jose Sharks. Puck drop at 8 here on WGR. Krueger, I think if you've listened to my show at all over the past month, you pretty much know my thoughts on him as an idea, as a candidate. And I always was intrigued by it. I think when this whole thing started and you saw that he had left Southampton, the timing was weird that he didn't stay there through the end of the Premier League season or even till his contract expired in June. He left last month. And why would he leave last month? The only thing that ever really made a lot of sense for that was the guy wants to get back into the NHL. And the biggest question wasn't even, hey, can you get him? Really, I think the biggest question was, does he want to coach? He had talked to Pierre LeBrun about wanting to be an executive in the NHL, whether that be in a president role or something lower. But that didn't seem to be out there for him. He didn't really want to expand on that much when he talked today. If you want to listen to all of the audio from Krueger, he was on with the Instigators. He was on with Chopin the Bulldog. He was on conference call. That's all on demand at WGR550.com. He never really brought it into light whether he got any sort of executive offer. But hey, the Sabres did it. They convinced a guy that wasn't like Ralph Krueger did not need to come back to coaching. Whatever you think of him as a candidate, you might think this is a bad idea for the Sabres. You might think, hey, the guy's got 48 games of NHL experience. Otherwise, he's coached Switzerland, and that's pretty much it. And in some respect, you're right. But I think they did a pretty good job, and I have to be feeling pretty good about an idea when you have a guy who someone described him as the Dos Equis guy. And that's kind of how I see him. Like, he's the most interesting man in the world. Well, he's maybe the most interesting man in hockey. He's the most interesting coach in the world. How many NHL coaches have run an English Premier League soccer team? And actually did a pretty good job at it, too, to be honest. How many NHL coaches are on the World Economic Forum? The guy's got tons of interests outside of hockey, and he's written a book on leadership, and it's in German, and he's worked for Team Canada at the Olympics, and he's worked as a scout, and he's worked as a coach, and as an assistant coach, international and NHL scene. So the guy's been all over the place, and I have to think, you get that many opportunities to do different things, then you have to be a pretty talented individual. That doesn't mean that it will work here. That doesn't mean that he's going to be the next great NHL coach. I think if he was going to be some legendary coach, he probably would have done it by now. But the guy hasn't been given a whole lot of opportunity, at least in the NHL, and I'm glad the Sabres are the team that they're deciding to do that. Because Ken Campbell put it perfectly from the Hockey News and his story on it. His quote was, That's what good leaders are not afraid to do. Jason Botterill could have tiptoed around this, but instead he went off the map and out of the box. And that's exactly what Jason Botterill did, and I'm very happy with the job that he did. I mean, about a week ago, maybe a little more, when Jacques Martin was the main figure we were thinking about and talking about, and I think John Shannon had him as a leading candidate, along with Todd Richards, to be the Sabres coach, I could not have been in a darker place with who the Sabres general manager was. But after this happened, and not really knowing how serious it ever got with Jacques Martin, I'm feeling pretty good about the Sabre GM, at least when it comes to this coach search. It's the perfect medium for a coach, right? It's between experienced and Granberg, who they did an interview. It's different, but it's not too different because, of course, it's the NHL, and you can't go flying off the map because everyone will crucify you. But really, like, it is, to me, the perfect in-between for Granberg, who I think a lot of us wanted and has coaches a European style, has coached on big ice, you would think would bring some aspects of the international game into the Sabres. And Kruger's giving you some of that while also having a lot of experience, not just in coaching, but also in NHL coaching.
When Randy Sexton, Steve Greeley, and myself sat down to start going over names on who we wanted to interview, who we wanted to do some background information sort of checks on, we talked a lot about experience. We talked about NHL experience, but we also wanted to make sure we opened it up. And through this process, maybe it wasn't always out in the media, but we looked at a lot of coaches that had NHL experience, but also up-and-coming young coaches. We wanted to make sure that we just got the right person to come in here.
I wonder what he means there by up and coming young coaches. That's Jason Botterill, the Sabres GM. To me, that means maybe, hey, they had a guy or two in the mix that were young and up-and-coming head coaches. I bet you they were in on Sheldon Keefe. I would have to hazard guess that they had some interest in Sheldon Keefe. I think he makes their list. And that, too, gives me a little bit of optimism about who your GM is, that he would take an idea like that into consideration, even though you want to have an experienced coach. Like that, even that soundbite right there, I want to take him at his word and thinking he wanted an experienced guy. But if you're still, that doesn't mean you have to flatly rule out everyone that doesn't have experience. And that's another good trait that I think you should have running a team. Even if you want an experienced guy, you recognize, hey, Sheldon Keefe is this hot, young, up-and-coming coach in Toronto. We do want a guy that's coached in the league before, but if we can get him, we'll do that. We'll consider that. And that's what sounds like happened here. Because if they were just going for NHL experience, they would have hired the guy who's coached 30 years in the NHL in Jacques Martin, even though it hasn't really been 30 good years, instead of the guy who's coached 48 games in Ralph Kruger. So I love the hire. When you listen to him talk about like getting the most out of your players, especially your young players, and he's doing that via positive reinforcement. And like that's today's game, and really that should have been the old game too. Like that's how I think if you really want to get the most out of your guys, that's the way you do it. And that's especially going to work when you have a bright young core like the Sabres have with Reinhardt, Eichel, and Dahlin especially. The other thing that this kind of brings into play is Skinner. And you have to hope that Jeff Skinner really respects this hire. There's a statement out there by his agent that essentially says that, hey, like, we know, let me find the statement here real quick. It was talking to John Vogel, and Skinner's agent, well, it's too early to say what Ralph, or I think Ralph is very well respected. That's all. That's all it is. And you don't really get a read out of that. But I think you have to hope Skinner respects this move and it doesn't turn him off to the idea of coming back here. I can't imagine that it would, but you have to hope because that's kind of what's next on the docket here. They got their coach, and next up is Skinner. And Jason Botterill said earlier today that that's next and that Skinner wanted to see who the coach was, and that all makes sense. Maybe that's why we haven't been hearing a whole lot since the end of the season. Hey, they're going to play the waiting game until Jeff Skinner knows who their head coach is. Now is go time. Now it's time for us to start hearing about a Jeff Skinner negotiation. We might not, because it seems like this coach search was pretty much under wraps. We didn't hear about Kruger until Sunday, and we were over a month in by that point. And boom, 4 days later, he's the coach. So maybe we don't hear a whole lot about Skinner until it happens. Maybe we just are scrolling through Twitter one day and we just see an announcement by the Sabres. That's how the trade happened. Maybe that is what happens. Maybe it is. Maybe maybe we shouldn't worry about not hearing a whole lot about the Skinner negotiation, because you do think back to that trade. I remember sitting right here in this same room and looking at my computer screen, and boom, there it was. All of a sudden, out of the blue, out of thin air, no one had reported anything about this. There was no rumors about this. Boom, there it was. Sabres acquired Jeff Skinner. And I'm hoping, as much as I'm wondering, if that's going to happen with a contract as well. Otherwise, you got 46 days until that man becomes an unrestricted free agent. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll take your calls as we continue here for the next half hour before we get you to Blues and Sharks. Let's go to Jonathan and Alden. Jonathan, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Hey, Joe. I have to agree with you. I have to say it is. I agree with you on it being the perfect medium. Gronberg and Keith were my favorites. My favorite were the coaches I wanted them to hire. But after they became unavailable, I'm so glad they got Ralph Kruger instead of Jack Martin. I think he's a good defensive-minded coach. I think he can really turn this defense around. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic because this could go haywire, but overall, I really like what we got.
Yeah, thanks for the call, man. No, good points. I mean, for one, like, that's it. They could have done so much worse. So much worse. They could have ended up with Jacques Martin or Todd Richards as their head coach. And I think there's even a difference between those two. But those are two guys that I don't think would have inspired hope in anybody. Anybody. And yeah, I'm optimistic about him too. Of course, you can't know. And really, like, Kruger to me is about as good as you could have done in this search. Other than Quenneville, probably. But it's only the coach. Like, yes, it matters. But their success will only be influenced by Ralph Kruger. It'll be driven by their roster and by their GM. That's the way I think of it. That's the way I think of hockey. Your coach is an influencer to whether you are good or not. But at the end of the day, it's going to mostly boil down to how much talent you have on your team. Because if you've got enough talent, then you could really carry some bozos around on benches. I mean, does anyone sitting around here think Dan Bylsma was a good coach? Anybody? Certainly not a great coach, and he won a Stanley Cup. That should be evidence, just a little bit of evidence, that if your team is good enough, that can overcome who your coach is. And that's a pretty pessimistic way to look at this Kruger hiring, and I'm not really looking at it that way, but I still think, like, if they're going to be great, it's still going to come down to who's playing D for me, because they still need to remake that, and it's been about 5 years since they needed to remake that, and they still haven't done it. Let's go to Steve in Warsaw. Steve, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, I've been listening to this hire all day long, and there's been a couple notes that I've noticed all throughout the day. No one has really called in and been really excited about this hire. Even with Shoten, the Bulldogs, they haven't really been excited about it. They haven't said the word excited or anything like that. I've
heard optimistic a lot. I don't want to disagree with you that I haven't heard excited, but I have heard optimistic a lot.
Yeah, very, very optimistic. I mean, but no one has really been excited today. I mean, all day long, we've been listening to this radio.
Well, Steve, let me ask you. Oh, wait, first of all, are you excited about this hire? Are you excited about this hire?
I'm optimistic.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I don't have the answer.
Okay, but let me ask you, what candidate would they have announced? Even if, you can go all the way back to right at the end of the season. Who would they have hired where you just would have jumped out of your seat and went, let's go, like, fist pump? To me, Quenneville was the only guy that was even available that would have done that for me, or for probably a lot of fans, and that obviously, he went to Florida super quick. But I don't think there's another name past that that would have made everyone super excited.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. You hit it on the nail, but like I said, no one's been excited. Where's this guy? What has he done? And you said, hey, you know, we're not looking for greatness. Yes, we are. We're looking for greatness. We're looking to win. And just to get us through that, you know, just to get us through that, the two seasons, three seasons, we're setting these young players up for failure. And we're set. I mean, Jason Baltra just nailed his last nail in the coffin.
Well, I mean,
because I don't think this was a good hire. The scare thing. Now, I don't think even Skinner's coming back to the Sabres.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. Thanks for the call, Steve. I really think that a lot of Kruger not having much of a resume when it comes to an NHL head coach is about opportunity. Like, that's what I would want to think that it is. And this league has proven that it's tough to crack through. And I really think that this could really show how talented an individual he really is. I don't want to think this is the final nail in the coffin for Bottrell. I think this is certainly his last coach hire. It's got to be. Unless they start rattling off Stanley Cups, and then they have a couple down years, and then Kruger goes. But past that, this is his last hire. So it better work. I'm on board with that idea. Like, his rope is not super long, but to think it's the final nail in the coffin before it even gets started here, I think we're jumping way too far in advance. If they have a bad year this year, and I'm talking bad year, like, if they are hovering around 70, 75 points again, then maybe we're talking about a new GM. Maybe we're talking about it. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Maybe we're talking about it. And if it does happen, well, is a new GM going to want to come in and get his new coach? So if you don't like this hire, I don't think you have to worry about him being here for 2-3 years, wasting your time. I think if they're really bad this year, I don't see the GM having a ton of rope. Maybe he does, but, I mean, his first 2 years here, like Housley, this is why Housley went. You can only defend him so much when your record is what it is. Last in the NHL and then fifth last in the NHL. It's hard to defend that. And if they put a third stinker in a row here, then there's going to be more changes. It just might not be a coach again. Let's go to John in Buffalo. John, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Hey, Joe. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I think it's a perfect hire. The guy's dynamic. He's smart. All right. He doesn't have NHL head coaching ability. He goes in front of people and tells them what some kind of forum over there in Europe. I mean, this guy's he's so intelligent. And I think this is who Botterill targeted all along. That's why we didn't hear anything. Yes, he interviewed other people, and he waited for this man to make up his mind, and they came to agreement, and I think that's why he's here. And you know what? If Skinner doesn't want to be here, which we don't know that, if they get it done, they get it done. I just think it's a great hire, sir. I'll hang up and listen.
John, thanks for the call, man. Yeah, they did hire a lot of guys, though, or they interviewed a lot of guys. They interviewed 7 guys, according to Pierre LeBrun. Some reports out there say Lindy Ruff was someone who interviewed for the job. Like, that's out there now, that Lindy Ruff interviewed for the job. When I read that, by the way, a little off topic, but not really, actually. It's the Sabres coach search. But I felt so sad about it. Because the kid in me and the fan in me that grew up watching the Sabres he's trying to burst out of my body and yell, I want Lindy Ruff to be the Sabres head coach. I wanted Lindy Ruff to be the Sabres head coach. But I couldn't get there. And it makes me almost sad that he's not. Because I love Lindy. And I think a lot of fans wanted him. And at least if you didn't truly want him, part of you wanted him. And when I read today that he interviewed for the job and that he wanted it and that he didn't get it, I don't know. I felt down about that because I wish he was a better coach. I wish he was a better coach because he's a super guy and I love how fiery he was as a coach. Like, you want that. And Kruger's going to give you a little more, I think, than Housley and Bylsma were. Housley and Bylsma were super cool and collected mostly. And you just never got a good soundbite for him. They were never interesting to listen to. They were wrong a lot of the times when they were talking. And I'm just hoping Kruger seems like a guy that if he does not know something, he's not going to say it. And that's literally something the last coach didn't have. Because we heard him saying things that weren't true. That's what I'm maybe most impressed with Kruger's. When he talks about being a good NHL head coach, he's talking about delegation and knowing what he doesn't know. And the guys on the World Economic Forum. Like, that can keep being said. We know he's at least smart. And you just hope that translates into a good coach here for the Sabres. Because he's here. 803-0550 is the phone number. Thanks for the calls. We will continue to take those, and we'll keep talking about Ralph Kruger for the next 20 minutes before we get you to Blues and Sharks. Also, a quick word on the NBA lottery, how that turned out. Zion Williamson's going to New Orleans, barring any insane, miraculous trades, which will almost certainly not happen. And the Jets. I wanted the quick thing on the Jets because they fired their GM today out of left field. And I don't crazy. Adam Gase is their acting general manager. Who would have thought that was going to happen yesterday? It's the Nightcap with Jody Biasi here on WGR.
The midst of Gallan, and he has an attitude of a Lindy and of a Torch. But like I said, he's very good at knowing what to be at what time. So I think tough to say he's one of these guys, but he's his own guy.
That is former Sabres forward Thomas Vanek. Legend? Fair to say legend? I mean, he's got to be. He's fifth all-time in goals for the team. I think that's right. Fifth all-time. If he's not, he's right up there. Might be fourth. This is what we have the internet for. There's Thomas Vanek saying that Ralph Kruger is a kind of a mixture of Lindy Ruff, Gerard Gallant, and John Tortorella. I don't know how I feel about that. Doesn't really sound like much of what we're hearing about him. Positive reinforcement. And like Lindy, I love Lindy. And Gallant's a good coach, and Tortorella's a good coach. But they're all like drill sergeants, especially Tortorella. So I don't know. Like you said, he's not quite to the level of those guys, but he's kind of got his own flavor. It sounds like he's a different type of coach, and that's what I think I like about him, and that's what a lot of fans that do like the idea like about him. Vanek, fifth all-time in goals for the Sabres. If he ever does play for the Sabres again, which he's said repeatedly over the past few years that he'd like to do again, he is only 13 goals behind Danny Gehr for fourth all-time, who's at 267. Vanek's at 254. If he did play here again, he's not going to catch the top three. I mean, Andrzejczyk is third with 368. He's 114 behind that. But I think you're fifth all-time in goals. Legend. Where do you draw the line? How many legends can there be for one team? Perreault's a legend. Rick Martin's a legend. Danny Gehr, right? Ooh, how many Sabres can you qualify as legends? I think Vanek makes the cut. Think so. I'm going to have to think about that a little bit more. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get on Ralph Kruger as the new Sabres head coach, 19th. He's the 19th coach in team history. He's the fifth, I think, in the last 7 years. That's crazy. Ted Nolan and Rolston and Bylsma and Housley and just, oh. Like, you want it to stop, but this you got to hope this is the one. And I'm optimistic that that's going to happen. I think a lot of fans we've heard from are optimistic that's going to happen. Not everybody. You've still got your old school fans, super old school fans out there that don't like that he's a soccer guy. But I have to say that to the people out there right now that are just rolling their eyes thinking, oh, the Sabres hired a soccer guy. They're going to be the best soccer team in the NHL this year. Just let me tell you one thing. Going through YouTube videos last night, trying to just to see what Kruger sounded like. Just to hear what he sounded like. Because I'm in radio, I'm in audio, I've got to listen to these guys more than you can possibly know. Cutting audio and listening back to interviews, see what's good to be put on air. Like, I'm listening to these guys a lot. And I got to say, Phil Housley is one of the driest people that I've heard. In the media, at least. He was definitely more, more colorful behind the scenes. But he was pretty dry up front. And I just wanted to hear what Kruger sounded like. So I'm looking through YouTube videos and I'm trying to find out what he sounds like and how he talks. And before I even get to videos of Kruger, it's videos of fans and analysts on Southampton Football Club in England at both when Kruger was hired and when he left the team, not wanting him because he's a hockey guy, because he's coached hockey his entire life. What does he know about football? Or in this case, because we're in America, soccer. Like, what does he know about soccer? How is he qualified for this job? And it sounds like he went through 5-6 years of fans saying, well, what has he ever done in the sport? How is he qualified? And he still did a pretty good job there. I would say a very good job there, considering what the expectations for that club should be. I mean, that's a different sport. It's a different level of expectations. You are Southampton in the English Premier League. You should only be trying to avoid relegation. And not only were they avoiding relegation, going down to a lower league, they weren't even close to it until this year. So, to me, like, if you think he's a soccer guy, well, the soccer people think he's a hockey guy. And he is a hockey guy. I mean, just an entire life of coaching hockey and being a scout and being a consultant for the Olympics and all of that is not thrown out the window because you spent 4 years trying to see if you could do it in the English Premier League. So if you think he's a soccer guy, he's not. He's a hockey guy that tried soccer just to see if he could do it. And he did it. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Matt in Hamburg. Matt, you're on the nightcap.
Hey, so you were just talking about Gallant and Tortorella and Ruff and how I don't think Gallant was a drill sergeant at all. I think he actually is one of the newer up-and-coming thinkers.
Okay.
Kind of like play your own style. That was what made Vegas so...
That's right. I shouldn't have grouped him in. You're right, though. He's not quite... He's especially not to the level of Tortorella or even Ruff. That's right.
Yeah, so I like the hire a lot. I think he brings some of the analytics side of it. The other big thing I like is he's going to have some roster say. I think it was one of the things with Housley that Lauder was like, no, you're not touching this. And he's now going to have some input and hopefully maybe help Lauder will see maybe somebody that's more of, you know, deep down or depth of player for another team that could be succeeding, kind of like Vegas and took some of the players and they flourished into great players like William Carlson. So I think that's what I'm most excited about the hire for.
Yeah, Matt, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up because I haven't heard that mentioned, and that is something we haven't seen the Sabres have in a while. Like, the Bills have that. Like, a tandem coach and GM on the same page. Like, when you see a behind-the-scenes, like, little video of, like, the trade deadline or at the draft, for instance. Like, for the Bills, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are sitting next to each other. And they're both working in tandem to achieve one goal. And the Sabres did have that once upon a time. Like, Lindy and Darcy were that. But they have not had that since. Tim Murray didn't seem like he talked to his coaches at all, especially Ted Nolan. And it seemed like it was along the same lines with Bielsma. And then, yeah, I didn't get that same vibe that Housley and Botterill had a situation like that either. So I would like that too, especially, you know, Kruger's a guy that seemed to want to be an executive role. I think he might not have wanted to take this job unless he was able to get his hands in on the front office a little bit. Because if that's going to be his ultimate goal, to one day be a general manager or president of hockey operations, then you would have to think he's going to want to get in on the action at least a little bit. So that's a good point. I haven't heard that brought up. I'm hopeful, too, that that's the case, because I think that's a better situation for any team to have when your coach and GM are just, like, working, like, you're intertwined like that. So I'm hopeful. All right. We got about 7 minutes left. Couple minutes left before I gotta get out of here, and about 7 minutes left until the beginning of the Blues and the Sharks coverage here on WGR. And quickly before we do get out of here, I want to say a quick word on the Zion Williamson sweepstakes yesterday, the NBA draft lottery, the way it fell. So the Pelicans get the first pick, and I don't really think that's as bad as everyone's making it out to be. I mean, Anthony Davis is there for now. He's probably going to get traded, but it could have been so much worse. The Memphis Grizzlies were right there. They were number two. And there is nothing exciting about the Memphis Grizzlies. Nothing. Their jerseys are boring. It's just blue and then darker blue. Like, that's their colors. And to me, like, they don't have any exciting players. He almost went there. New Orleans, at least, is kind of fun. And they've got some decent players, even if they're not Anthony Davis. And you would have to think, if they were going to trade Anthony Davis, then they should get some pretty good young pieces too. So it's not, it would have been better, I think, if you went to the Knicks or even the Lakers. But it wasn't the worst thing in the world, I think, for Zion to be become a Pelican coming up here. All right, that's it for me. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned. Coverage of the Blues and Sharks Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals is next here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.